Once upon a time, Annie was frozen by her anxiety. She could hardly move or see joy anywhere, until one day, she realized her own thoughts could thaw her from the inside. Annie began using her thoughts more and more each day until she warmed up. Then she discovered she was living in a beautiful, enchanted forest, which she can now fully experience. This is Annie's Manifesting Success Story.
Hello and welcome to this episode. I am your host, Cassie Parks, and I am back with Annie for another chapter in her Manifesting Success Story. Welcome, Annie.
Hi, Cassie.
Hi. What's awesome?
Well, springtime is awesome. The sunshine is awesome. And my business is really going great, and I did my taxes, and so lots of, and I'm planning a couple vacations. So
amazing. All right. Yeah. So let's dive into this a little bit more. It is March 3rd, 2023 when we're recording this. It is March 3rd. And are your taxes complete? Yay!
They are, and we're talking this year.
Yes, current, done, amazing. I love it. Yeah. And do you want to share your how much you made this year working 3.5 days a week?
Yeah, I do. $161,000 and some change.
$200, yes.
Yes.
So 200 is important. $161,200. I love that. We were just discussing that's approximately $118,200 more dollars than you were making when you started, like 4.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us the biggest difference in how you've, like, how did you used to view money, feel about money, interact with money?
I was kind of terrified of money, and I thought I was really bad with it. And I was terrified to look at my bank accounts. I had no clue how much I owed on student loans, or I avoided anything with money and dollar signs. And I mean, it all worked out okay somehow, but I had this like, I didn't know what was in my accounts. I just like, I was scared of it.
Yeah, absolutely. In looking back, do you think you were actually bad with money, or do you think it was the being terrified that just kept you from looking at money, and therefore there's no way to like be, well, first of all, actually, let me back up. How would you define now like bad with money? What did you think? Like when you were saying I'm bad with money, like what did you think that meant? Or what did you have like evidence of that? Did you have any evidence?
Well, I think it was I had avoided learning about money because I was scared about it. So, I was uneducated in the area of money. I think, and I thought I couldn't do it, but just like, you know, you can't ride a bike until someone teaches you how to ride a bike, or you teach yourself how to ride a bike. It's not like that you're bad at riding a bike because you've never rode one. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I had these blocks about, and I had some shame about some of the decisions I made with money when I was 18, 19, 20, you know, young. And I just didn't know.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and so I would say I was uneducated, and I was in the unknown about money. And then I was applying negative emotions to that.
Yeah. And then determining like, I'm bad, just overall, I'm bad, right? Not I need to learn something, not I'm probably smart enough. I mean, I know you're smart enough, but back then, like, you know, we don't, when we're just putting that I'm bad with money in those feelings, we don't say like, is this education? Is this like that, you know, I just haven't been taught. Like, am I probably smart enough to get this? Yes. Right. You pass second grade. So I think most people are smart enough to get the math of money, the emotional part of money, I think, is something that we have to learn and grow through. So back then, what did you think being quote unquote good with money meant?
I had this phrase, I can gather, store, and share wealth. I thought that if someone was good with money, they knew how to make it, knew what to do with it when they got it, and had enough to share.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so by that definition, I mean, with somebody who had, I mean, you probably never thought about this when I asked the question anyway, with somebody who had $100 in their state, like they gathered it, they could make some money. They put $100 in their savings account and they gave $10 to, my kid is currently doing the Kids Heart Challenge. So like if they gave $10, they had $100 in their bank account and they made some money. Like, I mean, I don't think we would define anything as good and bad, but when we just like break it down like that, that seems sort of silly. Like that's all it takes, right? In that definition.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm often telling the clients that I work with, there aren't good and bad people, you know, you're mm-hmm. not bad or good. But I do think I was looking at it like that. I know I was, I'm bad with money. I can't do this. So was your question about whether that person would be good with money or quote unquote good with money?
Like that was kind of the definition you have, right? But then like we can put that in a very basic level. And I don't think that that person I gave the example with is bad or good with money. We just, in my example, I think what I want to make the point is like by that definition, it would be pretty easy. Like, I feel like you were actually good with money if we just went with that definition, right? You had some money in your savings account. You were making like $43,000 a year. And I am sure that you were donating something somewhere at least a little bit, right? So you were sharing it I just think it's interesting. I don't think there's good or bad either, neither of us. And we can go into why that does not serve you in money in a minute. But it's so interesting because even your definition of good with money, you were probably actually being. Like, if we look at the facts, right? And I think a lot of times for a lot of people, that's truth. That is what happens is we have this weird definition that either is unattainable by anyone or we're very close to actually doing, we're just not giving ourselves credit for, if not fully doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Amazing. What are some of the ways recently that money has like surprisingly come into your life?
Sorry, I couldn't hear your question. Oh. You blinked out there for a little bit.
What are some ways that money has surprisingly come into your life recently?
Surprisingly, let's see. My son received a grant for some services and it was kind of a surprise when it came in. And I'm trying to think of a surprise because most everything is coming in through clients and work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, so I think I don't know if I have
a super surprising. That's okay.
Yeah.
I think I saw some in something that you wrote recently. I think Leo had gotten a bike.
Oh yeah. That was a surprise.
Right.
Yeah.
And so maybe it wasn't cash in hand, but it had a monetary value, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the same as clients showing up that can be, I've heard you talk about this, that aren't like replacing other clients are in addition to because they're virtual.
Yeah.
They can be virtual. So showing up as total extra money with, you know, not just, oh, I got a client to replace a client, which I know for you happens very easily, right? If there's a spot, it gets filled as soon as it's open, right?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I love it.
I forgot about the bike. Leo had been wanting a new mountain bike and he asked for one for Christmas and then I didn't get him one. And then right after Christmas, we were at a New Year's party. And one of my friends was like, oh, he's about the same size as me. I have an extra bike. he can have it. And it's a great mountain bike. And then he also had a trainer, which I was wanting a trainer. And I've been researching them for a while. And yeah, so that's a surprise. Yeah.
That's amazing. And
it's funny how you don't always see things. Like sometimes I'll be looking for evidence and I'm like, I can't find any evidence. And then the next moment there's all of this evidence, but you couldn't see it. I don't know. But
yeah. I think it goes to like, it's such a practice to continually looking. And even when you're 4.5 years into like this, I mean, you've been practicing the law of attraction before that, but like here and really in a more concentrated way. I don't know how you describe it. You know, we just still have to train ourselves to remember to look like, oh yeah, that's coming. Cause it can be easy to be like, oh, to just look right and be like, oh, there's nothing and forget like, oh, it just looked to the left. Oh, there it all is. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I had a funny, so I was not in the market for a puppy and I've been in the market for a house and land. And, but someone I work with had a litter of Great Pyrenees puppies and, Leo and I decided to get one. And someone said, oh, do you have big property? I'm like, nope, but get the dog and the land will follow. And I just said that. And then a little bit later, my friend got a Great Pyrenees. And then about a few months after that, she bought a land with 40 acres. Which is total evidence.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's completely that I didn't know she was, I don't think she was looking for land when she got the puppy, but it was exactly what I had said. So I just thought that was evidence that I didn't see it for a little bit, but it was.
That's amazing evidence. I love it.
Yeah.
So awesome. The land is, of course, coming. How would you describe yourself with money now?
I think you're frozen, Cassie.
How would you describe yourself with money now?
My relationship with money has grown tremendously and I love learning about it. I'm not scared of it anymore. I used to be scared. And just some of those assignments that you had about Googling a financial term and learning, and having financial conversations and all of that was just so new. And so that's why I was scared of it. I had just never done it before. And like having conversations about large amounts of money and then they would just happen. And right now I'm texting with my mortgage guy about large amounts of money. And
yes.
And it's fun. And I love looking at my balances. I love looking at like my accounts. I love moving money around. I love depositing checks. My relationship with money is really positive now and curiosity. It's like, I want to learn more about it. I want to learn. I love learning about money now.
I love it. That's amazing. Yeah. Do any things come up that you still have to work through around money? I don't know the answer to this, but do you like ever find yourself having to pause and remind yourself like, oh yeah, I'm good with that. Oh yeah, this is happening.
Yeah, I think like after I did my taxes and after I saw how much money I went through a pausing period of where I wasn't doing my Enchanted Circle stuff. And I was, for me, it's usually self-worth. And if all of a sudden my checks are stacking up and I'm not depositing them, I go back to like, I'm worthy of depositing checks. I'm worthy of large amounts of money. I'm worthy of buying things that I love. You know what I mean? That,
yes.
That for me, I've learned if I'm stuck, if it feels like I'm stuck, either I'm in a spot where I'm processing the information and I'm it's becoming part of me. Or sometimes I need to go back and nurture myself a little bit and say, It's all good. This does feel weird. Yeah, you've never made $160,000 before. Like, this is new. This is exciting. And it does feel a little wobbly, but not bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And so for me, it's been like, even like, I'm worthy of doing enchanted circle exercises. I'm worthy of logging on. Like, some for me, I'm like, worthiness, it's quite important.
It is quite important. And I love that you're sharing this, because it is something that can like, at every level we get to, we really have to step into that. And sometimes that seems, we can make it. I don't think it is, but people can talk themselves into like, oh, it shouldn't be. I shouldn't have to say I'm worthy of enchanted circle work, except for enchanted circle work. Logging on to that means opening to more. It's not like I'm worthy, what you're really saying, right? And I love how you go through it. And it's like each step and what's behind it. And people don't get this sometimes. It's like, I shouldn't be not doing this, or if they're doing some other program or they're doing anything, right? It's like, oh, this should be easy. And so I'm not going to do it anymore. Instead of understanding what you have really grasped, and I love, like, remind yourself you're worthy. I'm worthy of this, because if you're asking for more, if you've never made $161,200 before, and you're doing work to increase and open to more money and an even better future life, like, that's more. It takes a little more acknowledgement of your worthiness to be worthy of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It seems so elementary, you know, mm-hmm. but it's usually what I need. If I'm not choosing the things I love, like exercise, or, like, it's usually like, I'm worthy of exercising. I'm worthy of making time for me. I'm worthy of being happy. Like, all of that's very important.
Yeah, it is. And we have to constantly, we don't have to, I don't write that story. It's okay to need to remind yourself, like, I'm worthy of that. And I think, I love that you're sharing this too, because I have that too. If I notice that I'm not doing the things I love, I'm generally like upset about something else in my life. Like, not upset, I'll start to not like something else. But what's really going on is that I'm not doing the things that I love. And so that, I love that you remind yourself you're worthy. My process looks a little bit different, but I love that one. Like, I'm worthy of this. I'm worthy of walking downstairs. I'm worthy of getting on the treadmill. Worthy of working out, right? Yeah. Versus a lot of people. And I think we're so trained by sort of outside voices to even take our worthy, to like judge it and take our worthiness down a notch, right? Like, if we're not working out, like, oh, like, to judge that instead of say, like, I'm worthy of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else feel inspired to share, talk about on your law of attraction money manifesting journey today?
I'm looking around for reminders. I don't think so. Nothing's popping up.
I love it. Well, this is awesome. I love talking about worthiness and money, and I know all of our listeners can benefit from hearing. So thank you for sharing that, even when you get to this new level of money, I'm going to keep saying it, $161,200 a year, you know, in 10 years, that'll be 1.6 million, right? More like 20 years, if you continue to work for 20 years, would be 3.2 million. Like, that's a significant amount. And
yeah,
when you're stepping into being that person, and that's, maybe that's one more thing I want to say, is when you become someone who makes $161,200, like, when you become the person who makes that, which means, oh yeah, in 10 years, I am the person who's going to make, you know, will have made more than 1.6 million in 20 years. Yeah. I will have made that, which is a bigger number. You're stepping not into just that 161, but what that continues to mean and that ripple effect in your life. Yeah. So yeah. Thank you for sharing about stepping into worthiness with us.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. Thank you all for listening, and make sure to come back and check out what else is awesome in Annie's life next time.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are inspired and you're ready to start writing a new money story, a new life story, to really pick the pin up and design your happy ever after, go to enchantedlifeyou.com. That's enchantedlifeyou.com to get started. For any links that we talked about in the show, you can find the show notes at manifestingsuccessstories.com.